Joe just gave it. It's KAZU, FM Pacific Grove, California. And the title of my broadcast is World Watchers, and it's program number 727, November the 11th, 1985. For local people here in the area, there are two broadcasts concerning Dan White and Harvey Milk and George Moscone this week on Channel 9 at 10 p.m. Tuesday, The People versus Dan White. That's a play that was on last year. I believe it's a repeat. It's a one-and-a-half-hour documentary, and it is taken directly from the court records in San Francisco. Very interesting. And then the following evening, Wednesday, November 13th, from 9 to 11, is the Academy Award movie, The Times of Harvey Milk, and that sets the tone of San Francisco and the milieu of Dan White. Instead of doing part two on Dan White this evening, The Mind Control of Dan White, I thought it'd be more interesting for you to watch that and then share some more facts and information that are not in the movie or in the play. I've seen both of them, and then conclude the segments on Dan White. So I'm going to pick up where I left off, not last week, but the week before. That was a very complicated broadcast with a lot of names. It involved assassination teams, drug running, current arrests, and a lot of what look like separate items in the news that are connected to each other with various attorneys and modus operandi cities and agents that are related to each other, even though the stories break as separate subjects. And I ran through them very quickly to get an overview of some of those. There's about 12 or 14 major trials going on right now involving these people that I've been mentioning, and narcotics trials specifically, and murders and arrests. And I'm going to go slower over some of them and update some of the news for you regarding those people. Again, what has happened in the past 2 weeks since I mentioned their name. Before I do that, I just have to mention that the Wall Street Journal this morning had a story about Roy Cohn. There's been an effort to disbar him from the New York Bar Association, or maybe from other legal offices that he has in other states. And the Wall Street Journal said the disbarment proceedings against attorney Roy Cohn have been delayed for 2 months because he is dying. And they said he has 6 months to a year to live, so they're going to wait 2 months to disbar him when he'll be more dead than he is now. I had heard he was sick. He has a cancer, and Roy Cohn is very much part of the American history and the things that I talk about many times. The New York Daily News ran several articles just this past year on his high-profile counselor to organized crime and the large mafia arrests that took place in New York City this past year that are going to trial now, with Mr. Tommaso Busetti as the main person helping the prosecution. A well-known mafia client of Roy Cohn's is one of the defendants in that pizza connection that links to the major crime families of New York City, and then, of course, to Italy and Milan, the Milan Mafia. And he's always been associated with the mobsters. The Torbit document refers to Roy Cohn in there. That's the unpublished manuscript of the assassination cabal of John Kennedy. And it goes into detail about Roy Cohn's work with General Medeiros, who currently is trying to get Nazi Rudolf back into this country, and Roy Cohn's relationship to NASA, to the Nazis from Germany, and his links to the Kennedy assassination. He is currently, I guess until he deceases, on the board of Western Goals. The head of that was the late Larry McDonald, the former head of the Birch Society. And that is the agency that was exposed for having their computers being fed information from the Los Angeles Police Department. It cost the LAPD $2.5 million settlement out of court to get off the hook on the trial there. So we never got a lot of the information out of that we should. And on the board with Roy Cohn there is Edward Teller, who is pushing the president to the brink of World War III with the Star Wars, the very person who has briefed Ronald Reagan since 1966 and who will blow the Geneva conference. I want to do a lot on that, but I'm going to put it over for a while because nothing will be achieved, so there's no use talking about it too much now. And all of you remember Roy Cohn is the chief counsel for Senator Joe McCarthy, the Senate witch hunt. I call it the witch hunt subcommittee, helping blacklist people throughout this country. And he has had a high profile with Ronald Reagan's team, which includes Mr. William Casey of the CIA and Paul Exalt, Senator Lex Salt, who raised the money for the GOP for two elections, with his Las Vegas connections to Modalitz, to the Mafia. Of course, Las Vegas is the power structure is practically all Mafia run there. And the role of Roy Cohn in this administration has been linked to the Mafia, the drug running, and the assassination teams, the undercurrent of what's been going on in the Reagan administration and Reagan's past ever since he got into politics. Now, the one other article I just want to mention before I go on to the subject of guns, drugs, and murder is an example of the craziness that's going on in Washington, D.C. at the current time. I have approximately about 75 articles in a lump called one-liners. I don't know how to deal with them. They're so crazy, and I just thought I'd share one of those with you to show how difficult the problem of selection is. Just this morning in the Monterey Herald and Wire Service story, the government is on the brink of default. For the first time in American history, the government is in an impasse because there's no money in the bank to meet their financial obligations. And if people working or paid by the government for Social Security or whatever, millions of dollars of checks might be bouncing in federal checks, and they may have to send a 500,000 people, non-essential workers, home immediately on what they call is a vacation, because the government is, according to the newspapers, and we've seen this going on, is being brought to the brink of double doomsday. They can't get a budget. They're out of money for the first time in the history of the United States, and Ronald Reagan was the one who was going to balance the budget. And then the Wall Street Journal this morning, just parallel to that, is a story. Senate defense bill has over $2 billion for items that the Pentagon never asked for. Now, the Pentagon is a voracious eater of money. It asks for more and more and settles for what you cut back. But in the current budget that they're wrangling about, there is $2 billion that no one ever asked for. Well, we know somebody put it on the books. It obviously is a way for the Pentagon to fund the Contras. When Congress says the CIA can't do it, then it goes to the Defense Department. And they use an example of an appropriation of $400 million for ammunition that the Army didn't even request on the books. It says the Army needs this extra ammunition, and the Armed Services is saying we have nowhere to store the stockpile of ammunition that you're buying. So on paper, it's supposed to be bullets, and they don't even have a place to put it. But then the article continues, the Wall Street Journal, it says the measure would provide an unrequested $56.2 million for research into acquired immune deficiency syndrome, which is AIDS. What does the Pentagon have to use $56 million when the hospitals and the centers of the universities and the research centers, the lay people should be staying with their hands in the medical field? This is identical to Nazi Germany, where IG Farben controlled the medicine and the Gestapo is equivalent to the Pentagon. The Pentagon is asking for $52.6 million for their version of research when there's a lot of reason to believe that they started it in the first place. And then they're asking $67.6 million to test members of the armed services for AIDS. $67 million to test the military for AIDS and $100 million for counterterrorism. That doesn't include the embassies, where there's several billion into that, millions of dollars that nobody requested. And, of course, this goes into spying money and subterfuge. There is a budget here that Washington, D.C. can't handle. On the other hand, they're saying they get money that nobody asked for, which is many millions of dollars. Now, as I say, on broadcast 725 2 weeks ago, I went into a lot of various areas. If I repeat them now and update them, the names may be become familiar with you. I was talking about the death of Bekir Salenk, who was killed in Turkey, a primary witness to both the drug running and the guns traffic, the smuggling of arms and weapons, the exchange of drugs and guns with violence in the Middle East, atomic bombs for the Middle East, that links to the Masonic Lodge, the P2, Bekir Salenk, a primary witness in that trial, the Milan Mafia, and out of Palermo, Italy, and also he's a connecting link to the allegations that Aja said he had a role in trying to arrange for the murder of the Pope, where the evidence seems to be pointing to Michael Ledeen and Claire Sterling and Paul Hensa and Alexander Haig and the CIA, who really set that up. And I talked about the murder of Emmanuel Orlando, whose father works in the Vatican, they wanted to trade her for Aja. And when Aja wasn't traded, the people who kidnapped her, the Grey Wolves, the Nazi group, out of Italy and Germany and Turkey said, well, they would kill her, and said they had. And I ran down various deaths. I'll update those deaths for you now. And the drug dealers, the arrest of a Mr. Barrett in Phoenix, Arizona from Las Vegas, and Robert Franklin Black, who was arrested in Seattle, and then the arrest of the Rajneesh in South Carolina and Sheila in Germany. And I'm going back over those names now and tie them in with what's happened in the news, some of the names that I ran down before. Now, one of the people in the drugs and it links to the Defense Department, to the CIA and narcotics traffic I mentioned was Paul Celosia. He lives up in Palo Alto, San Jose, and he was arrested for sending weapons, planning to send weapons to Iran, working with members of organized crime, Jimmy Fratriano and Tony Romano. And he has links, as I say, to the CIA, the Defense Department, and to David Atlee Phillips, who was responsible for the CIA action when Salvador Allende was killed. And Phillips, of course, is deep into the survivalist movement, the Eagle magazine, and the co-partner of the survivalists with this Paul Cicciola, the common denominator for the mass murders up at Calaveras County. These two parties, Carolyn Balzas and her drug dealer, Wayne Greener, and his murders are linked to Paul Cicciola. Common attorney Chris Carroll and Stan Rosansky represent both of them. Now, this past week, the San Jose Mercury ran a story about Paul Cicciola's trial, and he's suing the federal government because he claims that the organized crime syndicate, Anthony Tony Romano and Angelo Maldonado, set him up for the weapons and the tanks that were to go to Iran, the anti-tank missiles. Romano's name came up in regards to the mayor of San Francisco, Mayor Alioto, and the trials that went on regarding his alleged relationships with Romano. And when Joe Alioto was out, George Moscone, the controversial Moscone, took his place. And Cicciola is suing the federal government. He's filed a suit that they were setting him up with the drugs shipments, not the drug shipments, with the weapons and the missiles to Iran, the tanks, the TOW missiles. And one of the defendants in his suit is U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Wayne Gillespie. So he's blaming the organized crime syndicate in messing over his life, a man who worked for the CIA and the Defense Department. And in comes the mafia. And last week I mentioned his relationship to Jimmy Fratriano, Jimmy the Weasel Fratriano, who in turn has close links down to Mo Dallas at La Costa. And those are the Paul Axalt, Ronald Reagan connections to organized crime in California. I have an article, March 16th, 1980. There's many articles about Fratriano, and I have books about him and books written by him, his biography. But it's just an example of the kind of character he has. He was testifying at a trial in 1980 in San Francisco and telling how he took part in at least two murders while he was working for the FBI. So if you think these murders are separate from, or these mafia aren't involved in mass murders and gun running and drug smuggling, he was saying 5 years ago how he did two murders while being paid by the FBI, how he participated in five other murders, and he had knowledge of nine murders, and he was a witness, part of the FBI federal system, and he was testifying about the Cosa Nostra running the Teamsters, and Jackie Presser, who was arrested this year, got off because it turned out he said he was an FBI agent, and the Teamsters were this past week, were in the news where Mr. Williams said they knew who killed Jimmy Hoffa and who he was with, and also part of the news stories that have been breaking. The man who killed Jimmy Hoffa was then hired by Raymond Donovan, Secretary of Labor, and his trial's just crawling along in New York City. He was appointed Secretary of Labor because he obliged by working constantly with the Teamsters and getting rid of Hoffa, paying off the man who did it, hiring him, and then this is the only labor union that supported Richard Nixon and then Ronald Reagan. These are the strong supporters. You see pictures of Jackie Presser and Raymond Donovan, Ronald Reagan, and forget Nixon. We're talking about this administration with this track record of murders. And again, now Mr. Cicciola is tangled with Romano and Fratriano in 1985. Now, I was talking about another survivalist in addition to Carolyn Balzas. Their names are so bizarre. We've got a lot of Yugoslavian, Polish names in these things. I have to scratch my head, their attorneys and the people involved. But another survivalist, Kenneth Don Barrett, I ran through stories about him 2 weeks ago. He robbed a armored car in Las Vegas. He shot a policeman on the LAPD staff in Nevada. Then he went to Phoenix, Arizona, and when the FBI closed in on him and wanted to arrest him, or so they said, they did arrest him, they killed the FBI woman that was working with the agents in Phoenix, Arizona. And there was an article in the newspaper, October 28, 1985, FBI covers up homicide. And it says the FBI female special agent assigned to the Phoenix, Arizona office, Robin Ahrens, was shot down and killed by two male agents from the same office where she worked, where they were staking out a crime scene. Now, the woman from Arizona of the FBI was shot by two people who had been doing work for her for months on the case, so they couldn't confuse the identity or if they used disguise as her. But who survived? The survivalist, the bank robber, the man who shot the policeman, who had the cache of stolen weapons, the survivalist equipment, large caliber pistols, ammunition, M16 rifle, silencers, mace, gas mask, bayonet, you name it. And he uses these various things, and he's alive, and the FBI woman was gunned down. And one article that was printed asked, what is the relationship of her information there to FBI agent Dan Mitrione? And I briefly touched on it and ran through it because there are so many names in these cases. And just this last week in the New York Times, there was a story on Dan Mitrione. He's the son of the chief of police in Uruguay who taught torture to the Uruguayan government, who was trained in the United States at the police academies. His son has been an FBI agent in Miami for 20 years, and he was caught with heavy narcotics traffic. And one of the deals he was working with, interestingly enough, Mitrione's son, was in Dallas with the Dallas Cowboys, where in 1980 they were buying cocaine in exchange for blowing the game so that the syndicate and the mob could make high bets on the Dallas Cowboys on the other team, knowing they were going to win. And in exchange, they gave the players cocaine to lose the game. And Daniel Mitrione Jr., the son of the man doing the torturing in Uruguay, who worked with Joseph Mengele, Klaus Barbie, and the drug traffickers down in that part of the world, he wrote up papers about the man who owned the Cowboys. That was Mr. Murchison, heavily involved in the Kennedy assassination. It was his home the night before Kennedy was killed. The J. Edgar Hoover and Richard Nixon were there deciding whether to do the fatal shot the next day. And then the Cowboys was sold to Bum Bright, who owns it now in Texas, who paid one-third of the ad that Bernard Weissman put in the newspaper the day that Kennedy was killed, the wanted for treason for John Kennedy. And H.L. Hunt paid for another part of it, or Nelson Bunker Hunt, and the Birch Society that Larry McDonald and Roy Cohn are part of. Larry McDonald, certainly the president of it, worked hand in glove, of course, with Bum Bright and Murchison. So the Birch Society, the Kennedy assassination, comes in surreptitiously in various stories like this arrest of the Mr. Barrett in Phoenix, Arizona, and the murder of the FBI woman who was on to the connections of this case. Now, I mentioned 2 weeks ago about the Bhagwan. I have so many articles, the Rajneesh Bhagwan or the Bhagwan Rajneesh. I turned it around to be funny. The order is the Bhagwan Shrey Rajneesh. And I talked about the drug connections, the arrest of a Robert Franklin Black, very important cocaine dealer, wanted for 10 years, involved with international drug smuggling since the late 60s, had a charge in 1977 with passport fraud, 1977 cocaine smuggling in San Diego, 1984 currency smuggling, 1984 drug conspiracy. He was arrested just 3 weeks before the Bhagwan takes a powder and tries to get down to the Bahamas, where there's plenty of that coke and drug stuff. And he found two places that would let him take refuge. And one was Bermuda or the Bahamas. He wanted to be down there, and he was on his way. And he was stopped in South Carolina. Now, just when the drug connection was breaking, and it seems that the authorities knew all the while that this particular Robert Franklin Black had information that he was in and out with the Rajneesh and kept an Indian name and several other aliases, just when that happened, Sheila took off to go to Germany. And this is a very important thing I had on the air, and I want to repeat it because of another news item that came out just this week. to replace Sheila, Big Mouth Sheila, who went off to Germany. Prem Hasha took her place. And I told you that Prem Hasha was Francois Ruddy. She's now the president of the Roshnish Foundation, the international multimillion-dollar corporation. And I gave you her background. She was trained in the Israeli army. She was over there, then to Canada, where she then married a Mr. Glazer, who helped build Atomic Energy Commission at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And there were four friends that she mentioned in the Oregonian that she was familiar with in an interview that as the wife of Mr. Glazer, she was associated with. One was Wernher von Braun, who's listed in the Torbit document as part of the Permandex operation with Walter Dornberger and Mr. Medeiros and Roy Cohn in killing John Kennedy. Hyman Rickover, who's been in the scandals recently with General Dynamics. Henry Crown and General Dynamics played a major role in the Kennedy assassination. Estes Kievauber, she knew. He was murdered because he was investigating Carlos Marcello and the drug connections with Robert Kennedy in Congress. That fell short. And after Robert Kennedy was killed and Kievauber was through, nobody ever touched the drug connections again. And then Howard Baker was another member of the Senate that she cited. And Howard Baker was the liaison to Richard Nixon at the time of Watergate to keep the lid on the murders that were taking place and the drug connections and the international death squad connections of Watergate to Richard Nixon to keep the lid on all that. So she, and also she produced the movie, her money, a lot of it, with Mr. Ruddy, The Godfather, Francis Ford Coppola's movie, The Godfather, which is all fitting to where she is now and what's going on. But just to update her and go one step further, October the 29th, 1985, the Bhagwan was arrested down in South Carolina, and the Seattle Times ran stories. Sheila in Germany was saying that he was involved with drug abuse and drug traffic. She was citing the drug connections. And there's been talk and articles for the past 2 or 3 years on the cocaine, heroin, hashish, and marijuana of the Bhagwan, the drug traffic that supplied the money for his Rolls Royces and his operation. He was charging the Bhagwan with these things from Germany when she was arrested, and he was charging her with murder, illegal wiretapping, attempted murder, and they've been accusing each other of names. Now, a very important break in that story of the Bhagwan came this week out of the Oregonian. It's November the 7th. Bhagwan has returned to Oregon after his stopover in South Carolina and Oklahoma, where the charges were dropped for fleeing, trying to flee the country. And his attorney, his top legal advisor at the Roshnish ranch there, a man who uses the Indian name Prem Niran, he's the advisor to the Roshnish, the current on-base attorney, married to a woman from Chile, from Pinochet's Chile, and several of the top advisors are from South Africa and Chile and Germany and Canada, an amazing combination. He was speaking for the fact that Roshnish was back, and they hired four attorneys to represent these various charges of wiretapping, of attempted murder, of illegal immigration, faking his immigration papers, marriage by subterfuge to stay in the area, and possible drugging, the salmonella poisoning, and so forth. So they hired four attorneys now to represent the Roshnish. The chains are off of his hands and arms. And one of them is Miles Ambrose of Washington, D.C., A-M-B-R-O-S-E, former commissioner of customs, according to the Oregonian, and U.S. Attorney Brian O'Neill of Washington, of Los Angeles, rather. Now, the interesting thing about Ambrose in the article in the Oregonian, they identified him as a former commissioner of customs. But as soon as I saw the name, I nearly went through the ceiling and went to the first book I could think of, remembering that the reason I thought the Roshnish and Sheila fled was the drug arrest of Robert Franklin Black that tipped it off, wanted for 10 years and part of their outfit. I went to the book, The Great Heroin Coup. Many of you have it, and if you don't, you should get it. And, of course, in the index, it describes Mr. Ambrose in this way. In the early 1980s, the Justice Department is investigating allegations that Carlos Marcello had hired Mario Noto, the Deputy Commissioner of Immigration, a guaranteed plus job after his retirement in return for Noto's help in getting Marcello's travel restrictions lifted. Noto's attorney was Miles Ambrose, who stepped down from his job as the head of BNDD, that's the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, in the wake of a corruption allegations. That was from the New York Times, February the 11th, 1980. Well, what they didn't go into the details of that, but again, Carlos Marcello was involved in saying there is a stone in my shoe, a pebble in my shoe, Robert Kennedy put there, and those were the orders to kill Robert Kennedy. And Carlos Marcello worked with Jack Ruby and David Ferry and Clay Shaw in New Orleans. And again, the assassination team, the attorney for Marcello and Noto, turns out to be Ambrose. But then the book, The Great Huron Coup, just to cite one, and I can go through many books of Ambrose, but I think you can get the whole picture when you realize it, in this one book, Great Huron Coup, chapter 17, White House Hanky Panky, when Richard Nixon wanted to set up his office regarding narcotics matters and using his Special Action Office for Drug Abuse Prevention as a special assassination team with murderers that tied to death squads down in South America, that does link to Mengele and Klaus Barbie down in South America. He set up the White House plumbers team that set off the whole Watergate story in the first place, if you remember. And the White House plumbers team involved John Coalfield from New York City and Miles Ambrose, the former customs commissioner who was named head of the narcotics campaign. He would leave later the government service in disgrace. He had a lot of disgraces. He's a crook. He's been hired by the Bhagwan, which is really fitting. You know, as I always say with David Emery and I say, what goes around comes around. So this seedy operation of the Rajneesh brings in Miles Ambrose with all of his links to G. Gordon Liddy, E. Howard Hunt, and Hunt's connections to the CIA, to the trained Cuban exiles, to Sandro Trafficante and the Cuban Mafia, which again is heavy narcotics traffic. He set up this group with Lucian Conin of the CIA, of David Young, who was from the staff of Henry Kissinger. Always Henry Kissinger's involved. And there's one description in this book about the team that Ambrose had. The White House controlled narcotics intelligence at home and abroad. Nixon's staff sought to control and enforce it itself. They needed a strike force, for in January 72, the White House set up the Office for Drug Abuse and Law Enforcement, according to a plan conceived by G. Gordon Liddy. That was the avowed Nazi Hitler lover, in case you've forgotten. And it would be headed by Miles Ambrose, the same attorney that is now going for the Rajneesh and trying to help him with his problems. And this story tells about their record in Texas and their gun running and their narcotics traffic. And O'Dell, those were the initials for the agency, was so notorious for its record of illegal raids, no-knock entries into private homes, and beating of innocent people, they called it the American Gestapo. Now, that's just a few words on the background of the attorney who's going to be representing the Rajneesh. And the interesting thing, you see, is by having this woman, Francois Ruddy, and forget her Indian name that she assumes, or you can use it if you want, but coming in to the Bhagwan's operation, she's talking, has produced a movie called The Godfather. Nixon was the godfather during the Watergate periods for sure. Martha Mitchell got a needle in her butt for saying the mafia is in the White House, and 3 years later she was dead. And in this case, the godfather of the Rajneesh group, Ambrose, is going out to represent him. He has a big following all over the world, particularly in Germany. So what goes around comes around. She produced The Godfather once, and she brings Ambrose for The Godfather the second time. And I think her connections in Los Angeles, this is important because her connections with her ex-husband, Mr. Glazer, and that's where she pulled in her big bucks to begin with. He's one of the largest fundraisers for Ronald Reagan. I think I mentioned that before. He's the man that Reagan sees on the West Coast along with these other, well, what should I call them? I can use some phrases, but I better clean it up. But he's important to Reagan's administration, and who else would better serve the Rajneesh with that drug arrest up in Vancouver and the following around them than to bring in Mr. Miles Ambrose with his links to death squads, to Hunt and Liddy, to Carlos Marcello. You can tell what kind of a case is developing as they hire their particular attorneys. Now, interestingly enough, we'll take a one-minute break, and I'll do some more about the Rajneesh and go back to articles in the news this week to pertain to the people that I mentioned on Program 725. It went fast, I admit it, and I took a lot of names, and I will be going over them and updating them as we go along. But we'll take a one-minute break now.